Dave, I don't hear anything. Oh, Dave. I don't hear anything on my earphones. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have us on the line from back in Missouri, John Stormer, who's written a wonderful new book called Betrayed by the Bench. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thanks very much for being with us. And John certainly has written a number of books through the years. In fact, he has about 11 million copies of various books that he's written that are out in circulation. But this book, and I've read a lot of books on the Supreme Court, but this book is must-have. You've got to read it, because, of course, it really goes into the background, not just simply of what the Supreme Court is doing, but why they're doing it, and of course, how this is being used to alter the very structure of our society, and how really our only protection is to get people onto the Supreme Court who believe in the Constitution. And the big tragedy of today is most people, most lawyers, even most judges and congressmen, don't understand the Constitution, and certainly the President doesn't understand the Constitution, because John has an exchange with George Bush when he was governor of the state of Texas, and it was quite obvious from that, which John has actually recorded here, that President Bush doesn't understand the Constitution. We're in real trouble, aren't we, John?
Yes, we are, and that encounter you mentioned, I was kind of shocked at the President's response. But then I had to realize that probably it would have been the response of the last half dozen presidents that have no comprehension that the federal government is only authorized to involve itself in about 18 areas spelled out clearly in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. And there's nothing in that Constitution that says the federal government can be involved in education, the National Endowment for the Arts, and a whole lot of the other things that they do.
And, of course, the big problem is that the average individual does not understand that our founding fathers didn't trust government. And in fact, the one thing they feared more than anything was the government would be used to take away our freedom. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. To understand correctly the Constitution, it was clearly written to limit the power of government. And really, the Founding Fathers saw that we were to exist and live in a great sea of liberty with a few little islands of government power. But since the Supreme Court has gotten done, we now live in a great sea of government power, with ever-shrinking little islands of liberty for the individual.
And people don't understand that this is how freedom has been lost down through the ages, when the good people haven't understood what was happening. But there's never really been a nation like the United States, where the power of the government was to be limited by the chains of the Constitution. And that was really what our Founding Fathers wrote about, it, wasn't it, John?
Exactly. They divorced themselves from really, a few abuses by the English king and the English parliament. And when you look at the Declaration of Independence...
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, and we're talking about his new book. It's called Betrayed by the Bench, and this is a wonderful book, and every American should have a copy of it and should read it through several times, because it goes into the background already of what the Supreme Court is up to, why the Supreme Court is intent upon changing the structure of our society. And I've read all the other books that are out there on the Supreme Court. I've got a dozen in my library, but this is by far the best book because it certainly goes in just the whole series of Supreme Court decisions as they twist logic to try to justify their unconstitutional decisions. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes. And you mentioned the other books, and there's some excellent books been done by good people on the courts, but they just deal with the symptoms, the things that have happened, and they're outrageous things that have happened. But my book, hopefully, goes a step beyond that and shows where we were and the methods and the men who brought us to where we are today.
And this was done very intentionally by people like Roscoe Pound and others. Would you like to tell our listeners who Roscoe Pound was, why this evil man is so important as far as what's going on today? Because he's been dead for probably a long time.
Well, I think he died in the late 60s. But at 93 or 94 years old. Roscoe Pound was a... he actually never finished law school. He went on then and got a Ph.D. in botany. He was a disciple of both Darwin and Hegel, the German philosopher. And out of that, he came to the idea that permeates so much of education and philosophy and everything else, that everything is in a constant state of change. And he applied that view to law, saying that law must evolve. Pound, who became the dean of the Harvard Law School in 1916 and I think served there until 1936, was an associate of a lot of Supreme Court justices. And Harvard, of course, set the standard in law school training. And Roscoe Pound, as you read his books, and he wrote a lot of them, they're not too well written, but if you dig into his words and say, now what's he really getting at points he did spell out clearly where he wanted to go, and he expressed a real hatred, a scorn for the common law that had grown up.
Hold that thought right there, please, for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon, John Stormer, and we're talking about Roscoe Pound, who was the dean of the Harvard Law School for a period of probably 15 years or more. And he hated America. He hated the common law. He really wanted to do away with our constitutional guarantees of individual freedom, because as with so many people of that era, of course, he did not want the people to be free. He believed in an all-powerful central government. So you pick up the story there, John.
Well, Roscoe Pound, he expressed hatred for the common law because, as he said, it emphasized the whole goal of the common law, which was based on the Bible and the laws of nature and nature's God. The common law emphasized the freedom and the liberty of the individual and his property. And Pound's view was that we needed to move to a system of sociological jurisprudence. That was the big thing back in the early 1900s, and I talked to attorneys today, good attorneys, they'd never heard that term. But sociological jurisprudence would move us from having law which protects the individual and his freedom and his property to make the emphasis of the law the higher good of society, as determined and envisioned by the social scientists, the sociologists, the psychologists, and so forth. And we have moved away from the common law. In fact, I've talked to some lawyers. One lawyer friend was the last class that was taught pleadings of the common law, of going to court to use the common law to build your case. And it was replaced with case law. And the important thought there is, or code case law, code law, it's what is the ultimate authority? Under the common law, God and the Bible were the ultimate authority.
And that was recognized by the founding fathers and by lawyers for 100 years, wasn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And code law, the legislature is the ultimate authority.
And in other words, we substitute rule by God and God's law to rule by man, and men can do whatever they want to, depending on the time of day and what they had for dinner last night.
That's right. And Pound was a big exponent of that and permeated law schools. In his book, Law and Morals, that he published in 1923, he said we must come to realize that the state has become the unchallengeable authority, replacing Moses, replacing Jehovah, handing down the law to Moses on the Mount.
And that's exactly what happened in Hitler's Germany. I mean, the state became all-powerful. People in Germany, the good people, Christian people, they couldn't believe this was happening, and they were being taught by their ministers back in the 1930s all about Revelation 13, how they just had to be subservient to government, and Hitler was such a nice man. And he wanted to do good for the people, and he wanted to give them prestige, and he wanted to give them confidence, and he wanted to undo the injustice that had been done to the German people under the Versailles Treaty following the First World War. And the people followed him to their destruction.
And Pound very, very clearly, he was a man with some real insights, and at least the parts of his books that are worth reading, I've digested into Chapter 6 of Betrayal by the Bench. He said that as Americans moved west, they were individualists, and they were looking out for their own freedom and their own property and so forth. But he said very clearly, as the urban centers developed, people turned away from interests in liberty and looked to security and wanted the government to provide for their needs, even at the expense of their liberty.
I'm sure of that. Well, they've forgotten that any people willing to give up any bit of their individual liberty for security will end up losing both liberty and security.
That's right. The book, I guess the thing that I was attempting to do in this book, now we look at all the problems, and people need to be acquainted with them, but then we look at the methods and the men, like Pound and others, who developed the system for transforming. It took about 125 years, step by step, to change us from where we were to where we are today. And the thing that we have to realize is that the schools had an important part of this. I mentioned in the book that I haven't been able to find a public school history or government textbook, or even a Christian school textbook, published the last 75 years, that teach succeeding generations of young people the thing that makes America different than any other nation in history.
And what does make us different, John?
It's the concept that the founding fathers discovered and put in the Declaration of Independence, that our rights come not from a king, not from a government, not from even a constitution, but our rights come from our Creator God.
And that, of course, is why we had a right to property and why we had a right to life and liberty, and that's simply been forgotten. It's all, we have whatever freedom the government gives us, and that freedom is shrinking very rapidly.
And as we say in the book, we got a full chapter, that you cannot properly interpret the Constitution apart from the Declaration of Independence, which set forth where our rights came from. And then the second paragraph said, to make those God-given rights secure, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That was the Constitution of the United States. Now, that being so, a question that I ask just continually, have been for a few years, and try to encourage people in this book to face this and ask this question, if, as the Declaration says, our rights come from God, and a government, the Constitution, was written to make those rights secure, how then can a court find in a Constitution written to make God-given rights secure, rights to abort babies, practice sodomy, or find a constitutional reason, supposedly, to ban the posting of the Ten Commandments or have prayer Bible reading in the schools. And, you know, people, for 40 years, people have been upset about the banning of prayer and Bible reading since 1973. Millions of Americans have been out protesting and the abortion of babies. And we're in worse shape today than we were after all those efforts, because we're not getting, all we're dealing with is the symptoms. And we have to get back to an understanding of the foundations.
And, of course, the foundation is the Constitution, and there is no right there for a woman to have privacy. Anything having to do with abortion was to be dealt with at the state or the local level. There is no place in the Constitution where you have a right to kill an unborn child. So, basically, it was really the opinion of the Supreme Court justices having nothing to do with the law, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. Of course, we've come to the place, I think it's Charles Evans Hughes, who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court back in the 1920s, who said very publicly and very openly and very proudly, the Constitution is whatever we say it is.
And he should have been impeached right on the spot.
That's right.
And, of course, the great tragedy is that today, as we talk about, you know, should we have this new man nominated and accepted for the Supreme Court, it's not about abortion. It's not about homosexuality. It's about the strict interpretation of the Constitution, and nobody wants to talk about that. They want to get us off on all sorts of side issues so that we don't understand. This really all has to do with the writing of the Constitution, and it has to do with God.
That's exactly right, and the fact that the basis of law is God. The first paragraph is the Declaration of Independence, which a lot of people aren't really familiar with or don't understand. It said that we had the right to separate from England and go establish our own basis of government because of the laws of nature and nature's God. And we try to explain that term, the laws of nature. That's something that grew up all back to the time of Greeks and pagans and all the rest, that in every society there were certain concepts that were just accepted, that you don't take another person's life, you don't take his property, you don't take his wife, and the things that then Israel had in the Ten Commandments, but Romans 2:14 and 15 says that these pagans, these Gentiles, that God wrote it into their hearts. And whatever society you get into, there's those certain basic standards, and they came to be known as the laws of nature. And then nature's God, that would be the Bible itself.
And of course, somebody had written a book called Eternity in Their Hearts, and the idea that this moral fiber, this moral law, was written into people's hearts. You know, it was indelibly there. They may deny it, but they know what's right and wrong. They may repudiate it. They may do the wrong thing, but eternity is in everyone's heart.
That's exactly right, and this was recognized and written into and made the basis for the common law.
Well, of course, we've gotten a long way from there. In fact, if you in many of our courts, when you go in and you swear to tell the truth, why, you're not required to say, so help me God. What does an oath mean if you're not swearing it to God? Who are you swearing it to, the state?
Right.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest, John Stormer. We're talking about his book, Betrayed by the Bench. And, of course, it's subtitled, How Judges Make Law, or How Judge-Made Law Has Transformed America's Constitution, Courts, and Culture. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get to understand that the foundation of our law in this country was the Bible and God, that our freedoms come from God, then we will soon lose our freedom. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish
concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future, are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer and his book, which incidentally we will be carrying because we think it's important, Betrayed by the Bench. And of course, John goes into the whole background of the decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court, but what really motivates them is to get away from the constitutional, the word of the Constitution, to sort of say, well, the law is whatever the judges say it is, but that means that 5 people are the dictators of America. Has nothing to do with what the American people want. And then we are told, sometimes even by our ministers, oh, it's the law of the land, we've just got to go along with that. And I don't believe that's the case at all. I believe we have people who are violating the law by making these decisions, because haven't they all sworn to uphold the Constitution? Aren't they breaking their oaths, John?
Yes, they are. And the problem is that millions of people take an oath to uphold the Constitution. The policemen, congressmen, legislators, throughout our society, people take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and most of them have never read it, and they don't know what's in it. I've done a survey, spent about a year. Every judge and every attorney that I met during that year, as I traveled the country, I'd say, I got a question for you. When you were in law school, you took a course in constitutional law. And they'd all agree, and some had groan. Some would say, yeah, the book was that thick. And at that point, I'd say, now my question is this. And I'd pull my pocket constitution out of my pocket, and I'd say, when you were in law school taking constitutional law, did you actually read and study the Constitution in class, or did you just study Supreme Court decisions which told you what to believe about it? And well over a year, judges, attorneys, I found two attorneys who said, yes, we studied the Constitution in constitutional law class. One of them went to Oral Roberts University, one of them went to Pat Robertson's Regency, and they both had Herb Titus as their constitutional law professor.
Well, because you tell the story in your book that you asked Judge Roy Moore, who's the Ten Commandment judge, you know, about the Constitution, what did he tell you?
Well, when I asked him that question, he kind of laughed and he said, 7 or 8 years ago, as a sitting judge out in Gadsden, Alabama, as a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point, as a law school graduate, he said, I came to realize that I didn't really know anything about the Constitution. He said, I started to study it on my own, and I've been in trouble ever since.
And I love that story, but I think it's really so true. We have all of these people who swear to uphold the Constitution. We have judges, we have lawyers, we have politicians. And, of course, they don't know what's in the Constitution. And until you understand that the purpose of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government, and that most of what our elected politicians are doing is unconstitutional, you can't understand why we're in the mess we are today. You were telling in your book about one of the men you knew who you'd known for many years, and he went to Washington, D.C. as a congressman. Would you like to tell that story? Because I thought it was really so apropos of what was going on today.
Well, he, once he got to Washington, and even before he went there, he was a friend, and I had known that he wasn't a strict constitutionalist. Now, he was a Christian, and he was a conservative, and in fact, in Washington, he usually had about a 90% voting record, right? But he'd go wrong on a couple of key issues here and there, and another legislator who'd served with him, we arranged to meet him and sat down, and I built the case. I said, now, you know that, I know that you believe that the Bible was inspired by God. God put every word there that he wanted there, and he agreed, and I said, so, actually, we can't just reinterpret the Bible to make it fit today. No, can't do that. And at that point, having gotten in that position, I switched to the Constitution, and I said, well, likewise, the Constitution was written by man, words, and so we can't just reinterpret it today. Oh, no, he said, you can't do that. He said, you got to understand the Constitution has evolved, and it's a living Constitution, and so forth. Well, I maybe wasn't very nice. I said, well, what do you believe, then, is the purpose of government? And his answer was, well, we use the power of government to meet the needs of the people. And I said, well, in other words, you have the same philosophy of government as Teddy Kennedy. You just see the needs a little bit differently.
And I think that's really so true. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with John Stormer, and we'll talk more about our Constitution.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about. Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
When was the last time you used PureSilk?
I mean, the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty,
and Santa Cruz Radio Show are the
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is John Stormer. John, why don't you pick up the story?
Well, Dr. Stan, as I mentioned, this legislator, and he's so common today, and it's in all the textbooks that we have a living constitution, an evolving constitution, and it's pictured to young people as a good thing. I think we cite one textbook that said instructed the teachers to challenge the kids. Would you go to a doctor who practiced medicine using the techniques of 200 years ago, or a dentist? Well, then how can you live under a constitution that was written over 200 years ago? And then it goes on to say that's the reason why it's so good, that the courts can evolve it and make it say whatever it says.
But of course that isn't true. Evolving constitution means that five men change America. And that is, of course, is a fascist approach. Why would a textbook do something like that, especially a textbook that's being funded by our own government?
Well, it's... we've gone through a transformation in the last 75 years or so. Well, it goes a little further than that. It really gets back, we mentioned earlier, that fella Hegel, George Hegel, the German philosopher, and Darwin, and those philosophies that there are no absolutes, everything is in a constant state of change, has been permeated into our society so people feel, well, yes, constitutions and everything else has to change. But God never changes, and His Word never changes. And something that some of our listeners might be interested in that sets my book apart from others, there's the chapter on the biblical basis for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And we give the actual specific biblical references that support, that were the basis for the Declaration and for the Bill of Rights, for example. You can go through, and in the book we go through each of the ten amendments of the Constitution and show, for example, the biblical basis for the Second Amendment, the biblical basis for the Fifth Amendment in its various provisions. And these are valuable things that those people who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were believers. They were half of the people who were in the Continental Congress that wrote the Declaration were seminary graduates. There was a time when lawyers, there were no law schools. They went to seminary. And that was what undergirded our entire legal system. And we have eroded and went away from it. And tragically, even good sound churches have no concept of where we were. And we aren't teaching. Last week I was in a Christian school convention up for six states up in Maryland. And every session was full, and as we laid out these things, young teachers, history teachers, were irate that they were never taught these things in Bible school. They never had any teaching on the basis, the biblical basis for America and what makes us different. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today.
It sure is. And, of course, this is why you do what you do and why I do what I do. People have to understand that our freedom came because we limited the power of the federal government. We solved our problems on the state and local level. And people say, but oh my goodness, you know, we have to have the federal government there to solve the injustice we saw, for instance, in the South. You know, how could we possibly have done away with the Jim Crow laws if we hadn't had the federal government? Well, let me tell you that states, you know, gradually were doing away with all of these laws, and there was a progressive move away from so much of this before the federal government intervened. But in those days, why, you had very, very strong black families. Today, 75% of black children are born out of wedlock. Have we really helped the black families so much?
That's exactly right. And an important and a key chapter in the book is the details how the misinterpretation, the wrong application of the 14th Amendment, which was written just to guarantee that freed slaves would have the same rights as the rest of us. And that has been totally... since about 1950, under Earl Warren, the 14th Amendment, the misapplication of it, has been used to give the government total control of schools, criminal justice, voting, legislative apportionment, and we have moved control of almost everything away from the states to Washington and the bureaucrats and the federal courts. And that's a very important chapter in the book.
And I think it's so important to realize that when there was injustice in the South, say for as far as black was concerned, you had two choices. You could stay and try to change it, or you could pick up and move to another state where they did not have the injustice. What do you do when you have injustice at the federal level? When the things that they are doing are totally unconstitutional, when we're financing ruthless dictators throughout the world, where we're, you know, involved in an series of imperialistic wars, but when we see the government beginning to collect dossiers on every citizen, both the federal government and the military, when we begin to see the video cameras going up in every store, when we're finding that all of our goods are marked with radio frequency chips so that they can be tracked. And, of course, when we have systems where they can quite legally tax your telephone and, of course, your emails and your faxes, and that's perfectly all right when the federal government does it. Where do we go when that happens? And of course, that the only place we would go would be to flee America. But this is the last hope for the really for mankind. And if we abandon America, then of course the whole world, I believe, will be plunged into darkness. So the miracle of America was that things were to be taken care of at the state level. We were never to have a federal police force or even a standing army. How did we get to where we were to where we are today? John, has there been some sort of an organized effort to undermine our freedom?
Well, yes, and there's all sorts of aspects to that. One of it was the fact that, as originally envisioned, we had the independent states that created the federal government to do certain little things, and the federal government was only authorized to do what the states permitted them to do. But, well, back in the New Deal days, Franklin Roosevelt and his brain trusters, and some of them were communists, they came up with the realization that the states will not be careful to safeguard their rights and their powers if we offer them money. We'll take over an area and we'll give them some money. And politicians were willing to accept the money and give up the control. For example, today, the schools of America get about 2% of their total money from the federal government. But along with it goes total control in No Child Left Behind and Goals 2000 and America 2000, and everything that's done in schools is controlled by the federal government.
And yet, of course, the federal government has no money. They forcibly take it from us.
Right.
And then they just simply take away our freedom by giving that money to the schools of the local communities.
They take it to Washington and spill a good bit of it and then send a little bit of it back with all sorts of strings attached.
And that's how you centralize all power with federal authority, with people who have a different vision of America. They don't
have highways, right, schools, criminal justice. It just goes on and on and on and on. Yeah.
Well, how can we then begin to take America back? How can we reclaim the freedom that we inherited from generations in the past?
Well, the first thing we have to do, and that's one of the purposes of my book, is to build an understanding of where we were and the foundations. Although in my book I do say that what can we do? Humanly speaking, if we look at the controls, if we look at the influence of the culture-shaping institutions in America, the schools, the universities, the entertainment business, the news media, the government bureaucracies, too many of the churches, you put all those together and look at the power at the effect that they have had over three generations, humanly speaking, there is no hope. But we don't have to look at things humanly if we believe that there is a sovereign, all-powerful God. And one of the things that we do weave into the book is to look at the fact that God has intervened dramatically in America twice, in the Great Awakening, in the 35, 40 years before the War for Independence. And America was transformed. The schools were transformed. The churches were transformed. People were transformed. And there was revival at Harvard, at Princeton. And those were the people who became our founding fathers and provided the leadership. And then it happened again in 1857. The first Great Awakening was there were preachers who provided the leadership in 1857. And we have some detailed information on this in the book. Laymen became concerned about the corruption and all the things that were happening, and they started some prayer meetings, and nobody showed up for a number of for about a month, and then the stock market crashed in October of 1857, and the next week the churches were full, and it spread across America and around the world, and it had a great impact on America. And God, I believe, would like to do that again, but he has limited himself in what he can do in America or in any place to what we will let him do through us. And a question we do take in the book, we say, how's this going to happen? Where Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus Christ face to face on the road to Damascus, his first words were, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I think we need to get serious about that. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do to first get myself back on the true foundation and then to give others the understanding? And I'm hoping that my book might have a part in that.
Well, I'm sure it will. I think it's a very, very powerful book, and I certainly appreciate the fact that you took the time and got all this material together and amassed it in a very readable fashion. It's not a long book, because long books, I think, tend to frighten people away. But it's very concise, it's very much to the point, and really has the material that people need to read to understand the foundations of our freedom, the part that God played in that. And, of course, why we're in the mess we are today. So, certainly, you know, as we read so much in the newspaper about, you know, the new nominee for the Supreme Court, and, you know, how does he feel on abortion, and how does he feel on this? But the real thing is, how does he feel about our Constitution and the fact that it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court did 50 years ago. If what they did is 50 years ago is wrong, then that has to be remedied. And what he has to do is not what he feels about social issues, or not what somebody else feels about social issues, but certainly what the Constitution says, and limit the power of the federal government to what it should be. Would that be a fair statement?
Exactly. And there's some of the other books that are proposing some good ideas, but most of the other books, come down to the fact that we need to rein in the Supreme Court, and I think Mark Levin in the Men in Black book, his whole solution is we got to get a constitutional amendment to say that the Congress has the power by a two-thirds vote to overturn any Supreme Court decision that they don't like. But we aren't going to get a constitutional amendment. Until and unless something happens really deep in America to transform the way people think.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If anybody would like to call in, we have just a couple of minutes before we have to let John go. But this is such an important book on such an important issue. So let me just again tell you, the book is Betrayed by the Bench, and when we get back from the break, I'll tell our listeners how to get a copy of this. What sort of response have you gotten from the book so far, John?
Well, it's not been as good as I had hoped, but the encouraging thing is people who got the book maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I'm starting to get orders from them for 5 copies that they're getting for their friends and others. So the response to the book from that standpoint is really excellent.
And, of course, the thing is that the book is just right off the press. It's been out for, about a month or so?
Yes.
All right, fine. So I recommend the book to our listeners, because if you don't understand why the Constitution was written the way it was, and I think probably one of the most important things is the emphasis on the Declaration of Independence, and they don't even teach that very well in the schools today, do they?
It's been eliminated from the schools, basically, as far as defining it as the thing that sets America apart from any other nation in history was the concept that our rights come from God. That makes us different. And the Constitution was written to make God-given rights secure.
And that is why the Supreme Court has taken God and prayer out of our schools, because if you take away the very foundations upon which our freedom rests, then, of course, you destroy our freedom.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's going to be so vitally important. I hope people will read the book. I hope they will study the book. They'll go back and reread the Declaration of Independence. They'll reread the Constitution. They'll study the Constitution. They'll understand, really, that it is a limitation placed on the power of government. And the Bill of Rights says Congress shall make no law. Didn't say the states wouldn't. Didn't say the city wouldn't. Congress would make no law. And there's really no basis at all to twist and distort the meaning of the 14th Amendment to apply to the states, is there?
No, there isn't. That was a real turning point in America.
And that they did that intentionally. There were wicked people on the Supreme Court, and they needed an excuse, a justification, to destroy this country. And they found it in the 14th Amendment. And, of course, you go back and you read what the people who voted on the 14th Amendment said, and in subsequent years, time and time again, why Congress was asked to apply the 14th Amendment to the states, and they refused to. It was never written for that purpose.
That's exactly right.
But there are people who had a different agenda, and that's why you need to read the book. John, thanks very much for being with us. We look forward to having you on other programs later.
It's a privilege.
Bye-bye.
Security to collective. Now, let's talk for a moment about common security. When we talk about what's been on the agenda for a while, what the United Nations does is they call together a group or a commission of
all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and if you'd be interested in getting John's book, and I recommend it very, very strongly, Betrayed by the Bench, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we need to remind you that on the 19th of November, we're going to have an all-day seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here in the Monterey Bay. And this is the last week. We have to have our reservations in by a Friday. So if you're interested in coming, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're bringing in speakers from Illinois and from Northern California. I think you'll have a great time. I think you'll learn a great deal. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The Freedom 21 people are going to be there with a table, and Michael is going to have a little time to tell you about a Freedom 21, Agenda 21, designed to take over our local community and communities all across America, communities all across the world, as part of a global plan. And, of course, it was all coordinated to, at least initially, to Prince Charles, who's over here talking about sustainable communities, and that he's going to these organic farms, and he smiles and waves at everybody. But he is the master architect, one of the most powerful men in the world, and the fact that you don't know that simply reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. Well, we hope that you'll want to come to our seminar. But we have to know ahead of time. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand why the Supreme Court did what it did, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will tell you what few other books will tell you. Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher and Unholy Alliance by Dr. James Wardner. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we certainly hope that you'll get these books and get so much other material that we have. It's available through Radio Liberty. You're not going to get it elsewhere. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day on the Internet, 3 hours a day on Radio Liberty, and 2 hours a day on the other networks we're on. You can listen to our archive programs. But we want you to certainly tell other people about the programs. We want you to pull down our newsletters. If you'd like a copy of our latest newsletter, and of course Peak Oil Part 1 is already posted up there, to tell you about the scam of the oil shortage, the natural gas shortage, but it's not going to matter, because you're going to pay higher prices, and an awful lot of people are going to be impoverished by a planned program designed to transfer the wealth of the American people to other nations. That's what it's really about. And when you understand the plan is to impoverish you and to destroy all you've worked your whole life for, why, maybe this might motivate you to be involved. If you want a copy of the master plan, it's called the Earth Charter. It was written by that great American patriot, Mikhail Gorbachev, who calls the Earth Charter the new Ten Commandments for the world. It was written along with Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, and Stephen Rockefeller, an heir to a multi-billion or trillion-dollar fortune. And, of course, they're keeping the Earth Charter in the Ark of Hope, which is, in my estimation, a satanic counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. After all, the Ten Commandments of God was stored in the Ark of the Covenant. But they're storing their Ten Commandments, the Earth Charter, in the Ark of Hope. And if you can get it on the Internet, or you certainly can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, we'll send you a copy of the Earth Charter. Point 10 calls for the redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations, and they're talking about your wealth, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't get involved, if you don't check out and find out what we're saying is right, and you don't join us in this epic struggle, then you will have nobody to blame when you are impoverished and your children live in slavery. So, but this is what happens to any nation that turns against God. And is there any question that America has turned against God? Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle and there are wicked people out there working at the highest levels of government. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.